blowing right through a Monday, and I knew we would. What's cracking? Welcome to the show. Hope you had a great weekend. And as I mentioned at the top of hour number one, I know some of you did, and I know some of you had a miserable weekend. What are you going to do? Either way, you got to turn the page. You got to keep moving. You don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. Trust me, I've experienced the highs and lows. I had kind of a tough weekend myself. I mean, I had a great weekend, and then I had a tough moment. It's all good. You keep moving. Suck it up. Keep moving. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Then Rocket can. So if you're just joining us right now, and I know a number of you are, let me quickly set this up. We just had Charles Davis on. Did a great job. Always does. An analyst for the NFL on CBS. Coming up at 40 past this hour, a forward for the Ohio State, EJ Liddell. Top of hour number three, Bills Mafia. Bills safety, Micah Hyde, had a game-changing play. I would never ordinarily say that a game is over based on a play made in the first 10 minutes, but that game was over when he made that pick in the end zone. Because they ultimately cashed that in, and there was no way. Everybody knew the Patriots were not going to play well from behind. They fell behind, and then it was on. All right, so those are the interviews, the ATP coming up in hour number three. Telephone number is toll-free and wide open, 1-800-636-8686. Now, what I want to do right here is bust out with a bonus Big Head Bets segment. Hope you're able to find the extended version on Friday afternoon. That was our podcast. Normally, we do it on Friday on the program. You'll recall, I took it off of the show and went hard with it for Super Wildcard Weekend for the Jim Rome podcast. We hit on all five games prior to the weekend, and now we are back to wrap the weekend with a preview and a pick for tonight's Rams-Cards matchup here in L.A. Head, how you living? And for those who do not know, how was your weekend, Head?
Outside of the Bills Mafia wanting to get at me, my NFL weekend was fantastic, Jim. We went 4-1 against the spread overall this weekend. So NFL was great this weekend.
4-1 against the spread, yep. And yet they all got to hate. You go 4-1 against the spread, you're getting paid now. So if people followed you and did what you advised, they got paid. Really quickly, Head, before we get into this, mm-hmm. a word to the wise. I need you, and I've said this to you before, but I need you to know your room. I say this all the time, but no one I know needs to hear this more than you. Know your room. This is the daily radio program. This is not our podcast. There are certain things you can say here, and there are certain things you cannot say here. Things that you said, for instance, in our win bet meeting with the executives. Things that you said on the podcast that I let you on Friday. You can't say those things here.
I got you.
No, are you sure?
Yes, I feel like I'm an expert at this area, so I got you, Jim.
Why do you feel like you're an expert? You're like the worst at this area. You're the worst ever. If by expert you mean the worst ever, no four-letter bombs. You got that?
I got it. I'm all over it.
Let's do it then. All right. Rams, Cards, really intriguing matchup. They're meeting for a third time this season after obviously having split the first two games. Mid-season, Head, I was honking Arizona hard. I was saying they were the team to beat. And they were, but they're not playing their best ball when it matters most, and they need to get right quickly. The Rams, as we have talked about, are all freaking in. Every chip to the center of the table. The Super Bowl is here in L.A., and not only do they want to host it, they want to win it. They want to win, and they want to win right now. If that's going to happen, they have to get their start by showing up huge tonight. What kind of a number are you looking at? How are you playing this one? Take your time. Let it rip. No four-letter bombs.
The number I have right now, Jim, is Rams -3.5. Now, every game between these two teams since Sean McVay has taken over as Rams coach in 2017 has been decided by 7 points or more. So I like the Rams, and I will lay the points here. Arizona is limping into the playoffs, and they haven't been the same since their loss to the Rams last month. Including that L, they've now lost 4 of 5 games, and in the 4 losses, they've lost by an average of 9.7 points per game. L.A. should be able to run the football like Seattle did for over 200 yards last week against the Cardinals. That should set up better opportunities off of it for Stafford to take his vertical shots like he did their last game. On defense, I can't remember a big game where Aaron Donald hasn't looked like the greatest defensive player ever. And against this offensive line, who we ripped apart for 3 sacks last month, and he might be facing Josh Jones or Max Garcia, he's going to be special again tonight. Add Vaughn, who also has 4 sacks in his last 5 games, and Kyler is going to have a rough night, I'm thinking. Now, against the spread numbers, they are in Arizona's favor. However, the Cards were the only perfect team in the NFL at 6-0 as a road dog this season. And the Rams, they are 1-5 against the spread, VA team with a winning record in the last 6 games. But McVay is 9-1 against the Cardinals overall. I like the Rams, Jim. Ram it, -3.5.
You know, there's a lot of really good information in there, some really good stats in there. How about Arizona? You know, for all the trouble they've had coming in, that stat about them being 6-0 as road dogs is pretty powerful. Now, Head, essentially, every team in the league goes as their quarterback goes. Yeah, I know, tremendous insight on my part. But especially these two teams, let me ask you this. Who do you trust more on a night like this, in a matchup like this? Who do you like better in this particular matchup, Kyler Murray or Matthew Stafford? Because there's a hell of a lot of pressure on both. Are we going to get Matthew Stafford, MVP candidate earlier this season, or Matthew Gofford, turnover factory of late?
Well, they do go as they go, and I know that's not great insight, but this is especially true for these guys. When Stafford, not Gofford, shows up, the Rams win. When he had a rating of better than 100 in a game this year, they went 9-0. Same thing for Kyler as well. When the Cards were 8-0 when he hit that same mark of 100 or better. If all things are equal here, I'd have to say I trust Kyler more, but it's not 11-level playing field and situations matter, and I just think with 99 and his buddies breathing down Kyler's ass all game long, the fact he will be going up against a better secondary and without D-Hop, I'd take Stafford tonight, but that's not a sure thing because both of these guys have struggled down the stretch, and old Fat Face has thrown the football to the other team more than anybody in the NFL this season. But tonight, I'm going to go with Matt Stafford, not Gofford.
All right, so I said know your room. Let me just say this. You heard the little bell, which means you've used up your quota of ass per segment. However, I did not grant you one Fat Face per segment. You do not have any fat face quota. Like, well, why are you fat facing that guy?
Well, ask me a question on Kellen Moore, and I could answer the same way. He's kind of got the chubby cheeks as well.
Well, why are we measuring face fat?
I don't know. The camera.
I mean, and is there even a way to do so? What do you have a device to measure face fat?
I don't know. Pinch your cheeks like a baby.
You're making it worse, not better. Head. The guy with the biggest head in the world is criticizing the size of somebody else's face.
That's right. Yep.
No, that's wrong. Crack my. That's forehead. All wrong, dude. That's all wrong. All right, so I'm still... Stop doing it, is what I'm saying. Hey, his face is fat. It's very juvenile of you, all right? Okay. You were doing fine. You were actually respectable. I'm still shaking my head about the Cooper Kupp show. This cat's numbers are insane. Mm-hmm. 145 receptions, 1,947 yards, 16 TDs. And how about this? Only one game where he's been under 90 receiving yards the entire season. Everybody knows this guy's going to get it, and still nobody's been able to stop this guy at all. The only game he had under 90 yards was against Arizona, so you know they're going to run it back again tonight. Kupp v. Byron Murphy. How do you like that particular matchup this evening? How do you think that goes?
If Stafford hits Cooper in a stride, it's going to be a long night for Murphy, even with help. He's good, but he's not elite like Kupp, like you said he was. And his night will only get worse if the Cardinals have to commit more guys in stopping the run, which is very likely. The Rams have targeted Kupp 28 times in the first 2 matchups here. I'd expect the same double digits throws his way as well. Now, if J.J. Watt, and whether he plays or not, it looks like he might. When he's healthy, they are completely different. They're 7-0 with him, and the pass defense is better. Their strength, which that was when he was there, gets better, so Murphy could get some help, but I see Kupp running all over him tonight.
I think that it's pretty obvious. Stafford, when he has time and he's comfortable back there, he carves people. But when you pressure him, his decisions are not as good. All right, bottom line, have I left anything out? Is there any other thought, any other matchup that you want to touch on? And if not, give me the pick one more time.
I'll say the same protection issues for Stafford tonight. Chandler Jones also has to have a big game against Big Witt. Last week, the 49ers started getting to Stafford, and it threw the game off, so that is a big, big matchup. If they keep him clean, they should roll on this whole thing. The pick is Rams -3.5, so let's do this.
All right, Head, let's do this. Good job. Thank you very much. We'll see how it goes.
All right, Jim, thanks.
Good job, dude. The bonus segment with the Big Head. big head bets on a Monday. He's going to ride Rams minus 3.5. He went 4-1 against the spread over the weekend. All right, so here are my thoughts. I'm going to jump in here. In the event that I were actually getting down, in the event that I was, I have been riding with the Cards all year long. Hard. My man Boomer Esiason never lets me forget it either. I still love these guys. And even though they have struggled of late, I think they're still having or have had a solid season. I almost never, ever go against them. But I'm going to take the Rams right here. Now, this might be a matter of semantics. That is not a pick against the Cardinals. It's a pick for the Rams. And I don't want to say that Matthew Stafford's legacy and rep are at stake tonight, but Stafford's legacy and rep are pretty much at stake tonight. No, a win at home against the Cards does not make him a legend or justify everything that's been said about him. However, a loss at home to the Cards as a member of the Rams, when you consider what they gave up for him and gave up for everybody else to get around him, that would provide a ton of fuel for all that fire that Stafford has taken, that he was as much of a problem in Detroit as the Lions were. This guy, he's got to have this one. As much as I like the Cards and as many weapons as they have outside of DeAndre Hopkins, they're just not the same team without D-Hop. They did what they had to do to get here, and I respect that. They did what they had to do to give themselves a chance. But I don't love the way they're playing right now, so I too will lay the points if I were getting down. I also will lay the points like the head, take the Rams at home, even though they have little to no home field advantage at times. It's all about the matchups to me. And top to bottom, I like the Rams a little bit better. In fact, I like them at least enough to take them minus 3.5. Who you got? Let's see what happens. I love the matchup. Can't wait for it. It's not personal. It's never personal. Don't take these things personal. I don't want the Cards to take that personally. I love them. I really do. I like the Rams a little better tonight. One more thing about the Rams. Their special teams sure as hell better show up tonight. Gotta have that. 1-800-636-8686. That has been a problem. The Rams special teams has definitely been a problem. Who you like? Are you going with the big head? He's coming off a weekend where he was 4-1 against the spread. Or are you going to fade him? Bills Mafia, where are you at? Are you asleep? I would understand it if you were. I'd love to know. I'd love to have a Bills fan call me up and take me through it. What was that day like? When did you start? Where did you start? How hard did you go? How did you pace yourself? How did you stay warm? What was it like throughout that beatdown? And here's something else I'm really curious about. I'm just a really naive, ignorant LA native. I'm really, really curious about this. When a night like that is over, I have to imagine you don't go directly home, right? To thaw out, you spill into the bars. You keep that party going. What do you do then? Do you just fall out and go to sleep? Or are you in a hot shower for a half hour? Like, I'm really curious about all these things because I know how it went for me after I did the pregame show in Kansas City. I know I always go back to that, but that was that traumatic for me. It was that cold for me. And as a California native, I'm just not built for it, and my plan was bad. But I'm really curious, and I'd say the same thing about a Packer fan. I mean, for a lot of you in the Midwest, in the Northeast, I'm really curious on days when the temps are down in single digits and the wind chill is minus double digits, perhaps. How do you deal with that? What's that day like? When does it start? What do you do? What's it like throughout the entire game? And then what do you do after the game? And then how do you get back to normal? 1-800-636-8686. Here comes the Twitter reaction to the head. I want your thoughts. Are you riding with him or are you going to try and fade him? Why the hell would you try and fade somebody who went 4-1 against the spread? I can't stress this enough. I think a lot of you newbies just do not understand how hard it is to pick against the spread. It's never been more difficult. I'm not doing that. That's why I bring the head in and I kind of facilitate and I moderate and then I'll pick one for fun. But he's doing it with cash, real cash. Why would you fade somebody who just went 4-1? If this guy and his numbers suggest that he is 60% or better during the regular season, the pros take that number gladly. All right, still ahead. I'm looking for some good reaction, all right? Get on the phone. I want to hear from you. I already heard from the ultimate Cowboy fan, Gino. He's not backing down. Any other Cowboy fan? Any Bills fan? Chiefs fan? It's not like we learned anything about your team in that beatdown over Pittsburgh. Nothing against the Steelers. If ever anybody left everything out there just to get in as a 7 and get knocked the hell out, it's the Steelers. Oh, and by the way, not that this is going to change, but that whole 7 seed thing, not working out too well. I would never suggest that more football is a bad thing, but did the Steelers getting in make it better for anybody? Did the Eagles getting in make it better for anybody? Only those who bet against them. All right, so E.J. Liddell coming up. Micah Hyde, top of hour number 3. Good job, Head. Way to go. Other than that sophomoric, juvenile, fat face smack. So I got a question for you. Why is Old Trapper beef jerky so amazing? Well, there is something to be said for family business, which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. Because all beef jerky is not one and the same. I think some of you make that mistake. Like, yeah, beef jerky is beef jerky. No, it is not. Make sure you choose Old Trapper, where you can actually see the quality right through their iconic clear view packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper is tender. It's never tough because they use only the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every bite, and Old Trapper jerky comes in 4 mouth-watering flavors. You have Old Fashioned, which is classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky, and delish. Teriyaki with the yellow label, where Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11. Hot and spicy, with a spice so nice you'll want to snack twice, and more. Grab and go with a 4-ounce bag. Load up with an 18-ouncer if you're feeling it. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
In case you missed the announcement I just made, here it is again. All beef jerky is not the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef. What I'm saying is I can't say it enough. It's an important message, and it's true, and you got to hear it. All right, so really quickly, some reaction to the big head. Who you got tonight? Arizona, L.A., the number we have is -3.5, the Rams. If you like Arizona, you got value now. You've got points on the road. Arizona, for whatever reason, is a very different team on the road. And that number, he said, 6-0 against the spread on the road is something. At DB the Rocket Guy tweets, Jimbo Slice, I think Big Head Betts ought to be able to say ass as much as he wants today. Homeboy got me paid this weekend. Wore more big head pods with you. Hey, Dave, I'll tell you what. When you have the big head on your pod, he can say it as many times as he wants. But on a real radio program with several hundred affiliates and several million listeners representing a Tiffany Broadcast Corporation, he can only say it once. Stucknut, quote, did Flight Deck just create the Cabbage Patch family? Not on my watch, he didn't, nut. But again, on your platform, it's the beauty of platforms. Everybody has one. If you can convince that guy to come on your show, although he does have an exclusive deal with me, although he may not know that yet. Sadly, nut, he liked that. He thought that was funny. It's not. I mean, Nut, you're the best. Thanks for literally 25 years of archiving the show, Nut. I don't want to get on the wrong side of you, Nut. You're my guy. Just don't encourage that guy. The head. Abigail. All of a sudden now everybody's got the heads back. Abigail at Romy's My Homie tweets, Jimmers, lay off big head bets. As long as he's making us that cheddar cheese, let the head say fat face fat as much as he wants. Yeah, that's fine, Abigail, but as you know, personal appearance is not show fodder. It's juvenile. It's sophomoric. And how fat a guy's face fat is has nothing to do with anything. I mean, I could pick any fat face randomly. I don't know. Fat. Like Ben last night. His face isn't exactly svelte. This guy's won a couple of Super Bowls. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Who cares? Let me put it to you this way. If Matt Stafford does not get it done tonight, it's not going to be because of the fat content in his face. It has nothing to do with it. Man, just stick to what matters and stop being gratuitous and stop looking for some cheap thrill or some cheap line. At CDN, Posty for Life, Romy, after a successful weekend of getting paid with the advice of the big head on Friday, I will gladly follow in his steps again. He and I did not agree on everything. I took the Bills. I felt great about the Bills. He went Pats, but we each got one wrong. So I don't always go exactly with him when I play for fun. Jamie in Green Bay, quote, big head knows his room the same way he knows Josh Allen is unbeaten against the Bills.
Josh Allen, Jim, 5-0 against the Bills in the past three seasons.
Josh Allen.
Let's make it 6
first
here.
Of all, Josh Allen is not 5-0 against the Bills.
The last three seasons.
Nice try with that head. He's like, oh, yes, he is. First of all, hi. Congratulations on the big win. I lost. No, but you're still a winner.
Hi.
I love the way, too, he tries to roll right over me with, he's about to make it 6-0. And I'm trying to stop him. I should have just said, hey, head. Hi. Hi.
Hi.
That was pretty funny. It's, dude, the best thing about the head, aside from his size 11 cranium, is that not only does he make you money, and does he have this, like, drove of great picks, he has a treasure chest of even more incredible sound bites where he's wrong or butchers the English language.
Winthrop.
We get the best of everything with this guy. Carlitos Way 505 tweets, Gino just said the most Cowboy fan thing ever, that we're jealous of them. Who is more delusional, Jerry or Gino?
What do you mean?
Yeah, there is something to that, Gino. Like, jealous of what? You not winning anything that's mattered in decades? But I like it. Juanis Wagner goes with, hey, Gino, some might have been jealous of your, quote, hot wife 3 decades ago. But about that time, she went to Dr. Jones for, quote, a little work. And he turned her into a rubber-faced monster. Enjoy that circus till he's gone. That's fair. I'll allow that. They have become a rubber-faced monster. See, now, then the whole thing about a fat face or a carb-laden face, if you prefer. Would I allow it for the big fella, Mike McCarthy? Because you got to admit, I'm doing my best to be responsible, but he makes a lot of fat face decisions, doesn't he? Especially as it relates to the clock.
The clock.
JJ Sportmo, quote, Jimmy Rome. I have to agree with Gino. Fire coach Mike McCarthy and hire coach Pervin Urban Meyer. Jerry Jones will hit a new high of entertainment value in Dallas. Oh, that'd be the best thing ever. I'm foy in favor of that.
That's devastating.
I mean, I'd pick up Pervin at the airport myself. I'd slap a Lyft sticker on the back of my car and an Uber sticker on the back of my car. I'd buy a medallion that you need to have a taxi cab, whatever it takes, just so I could be there to drive him in to the facility. That'd be so amazing. If he fired the big fella and brought in the big perv, that would be so great. Ken in SA. Jimmos. All right, so we've already had one Jimmers, one Jimbo, one Jimmos. Jimmos. What the hell are the Bills fans throwing on the field? Didn't look like a box of Cracker Jacks to me. Signed, Matt Nagy. Hashtag penis. Hashtag rubadonga.
Rubadonga.
That's why I love the Bills Mafia. I love the Bills Mafia so much for so many reasons. But because they know who and what they are and they're not going to change. And they're throwing sex toys on the field. Why not? Why not? Todd writes, remarking on an athlete's facial composition is something I have never heard in the jungle before. Sincerely, Monica Sellish. That's a good point. But notice we stopped doing that right around the time that deranged Steffi Graf obsessive plunged a knife into Monica's back. I mean, what a horrifying thing that was. You imagine, think about that. And no, I don't care that there was a gloss associated with that back then, all right? That's neither here nor there. Can you imagine a world where a deranged fan could just walk down to where the players are sitting on a changeover and stab a world-class athlete? Is that the most insane thing ever? Great Bludini, one quick one before I go to break. Bills Mafia. Pills Mafia, Dills Mafia, it doesn't matter the temperature. They are ready to give you more inches than a Western New York snowstorm. I don't know what that means. And I don't want to know what that means. And I'm not going to break with that either. Because that's what that means. More inches. I see now what you did. Yeah, we're not going to break on that. Dills Mafia, I get it. We're not going to break on that. This one says, hey, radio man, grumble, grumble. Thanks for leading with the Cowboys, grumble, grumble. We're on to the offseason. Regards, Bill Belichick. Geoff and Lincoln, I will tell you this. I got a take on them, too. Listen, the better team won, obviously. But I never, ever, ever, and credit to the hood. He owned it. He knows. But I never, ever thought that I would see a day when a Bill Belichick coach team or a Bill Belichick coach defense would have a team go down the field on them seven times in a row. I never, ever in this lifetime thought that I would see what I saw Saturday night. Hell yes, the Mafia enjoyed that. That was three decades of them kicking their ass. They should have enjoyed that. Eagle fans, we hope you enjoyed the steamy crap sando served by our sandwich artist, TB12, yesterday. You asked and we delivered. Yours, your local Subway. Ian in Chicago. Ian, I only read that because you're from Chicago. All right, so when we come back, I'm going to change up on you. What do you say we talk some college basketball? You like that? Good. You don't? Doesn't matter. That's what we're doing. EJ Liddell, Ohio State forward, joins me. Then top of the hour, Micah Hyde. And phone lines are still open. And I do want to give you my thoughts on the Bills. First up, here.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So I've got a big 30 to 40 minutes for you coming up right now, starting right this second. Welcome back. Bills safety, Micah Hyde, top of hour number three, so about 20 minutes from right now. But before I get there, I am joined by a forward for Ohio State. First team all Big Ten last season, named to the midseason Wooden Award watch list. 19 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks in yesterday's win over Penn State. He is averaging 20 7-3 on the season. Ohio State's 11-4. They're 5-2 in conference play. They are currently number 15 in the coaches poll, and they are at home tomorrow night. We are joined by EJ Liddell. EJ, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, good. Great to talk to you. So you dropped a tough one at Wisconsin on Thursday, so I'm curious. Let me start right there. What was the mood around the team going into yesterday's game against Penn State, and then what did you make of the way that everybody responded to the loss?
I feel like a lot of people look over Penn State, but Penn State's a really good team. So we just wanted to come back out, bounce back from a good Wisconsin team that we played on the road, and just come out there and fix some simple things that we had to get better at, and that was just defense and playing hard. So I felt like we went out there and executed that yesterday.
You know, something else, there was maybe something kind of a little bit intangible, like in the sense that after the loss to Wisconsin, you talked about that feeling that the team wasn't connected in that game. How would you describe the connected feeling that you're looking for on the court, and did you see that yesterday?
Yeah, I felt like we were connected on the defense end. I feel like it starts from defense, and then it carries over in the offense. Yesterday wasn't a great shooting night for everybody, but I felt like our defense was really connected and just communicating and just being together as a team whole, and that came from practice the past 2 days, and I feel like we're going to keep building off of that and keep getting better.
EJ Liddell is joining us. So as a leader on the team, did you feel a particular responsibility to make a statement with how you personally played yesterday coming off the loss?
Yeah, no doubt. I feel like if my effort is great, everybody else's effort will follow behind. And I have to lock in on the defense. And like I said, I'm getting better at it. I'm guarding more wings this year rather than centers like last year. And I'm just going to keep improving on that and keep getting better.
That's interesting. So back in November, when you beat number one Duke, it was a game where you trailed by 13 at halftime. Then with 63 seconds to go, you made a pair of free throws to take the lead. And then with less than 20 seconds left, you hit a jumper to extend that lead. What was the final minute of that game like for you?
Man, it went by like really, really slow. Like everything was happening like in slow motion. And when I hit that final shot, I don't even remember what I said, but I just went down the court celebrating, got to stop it, and it just got like extremely loud. And I feel like that's like a moment I won't ever forget. And just that experience playing against Coach K in his last season against a number one team at home in a packed house, I don't think it was going to be anything like it.
And listen, that's a once-in-a-lifetime, right? When you get a shot at Coach K in his last season and you're in their house and they're the number one team in the country, that's a once-in-a-lifetime. But that whole thing you said about how everything slowed down, as a really high-level performer, do you try to, like, replicate that or try to make it so? Or those flow moments, do they just happen and you just have to ride with them when they do?
I mean, honestly, I'm not bragging or anything, but I feel like I'm made for big moments like that. And in big situations, I feel like I just take my time and know what I'm doing. I don't let the game speed up for me. I felt like my freshman year, it was really fast, but over the years I just let the game slow down and just playing, honestly, not so much thinking. So in moments like that, I'm a basketball player. I like think the game, and in moments like that I step up.
Yeah, I don't think that's a brag. I think that's true. So if you're somebody who's built for those moments, is it because you learned how to perform in those moments, or how much of that is you're just wired? Like, some guys are just like that, man. They want that. They live for that.
I played basketball a long time, and I've been in a lot of close game situations. I've missed some shots. I've made some shots. But moments like that, I just know not to do anything that I haven't been taught to do, honestly. So including video games, I feel like I take the game winning shots in 2K and stuff like that as well. So being wired like that just from learning.
And you've been there before. EJ Liddell joining us. So you could have entered the NBA after last season, but you ultimately decided to return to college this season. The NBA, of course, is the dream for anybody who's ever picked up a basketball. So what made you decide to come back to college and to run it back again? Why was that the right move?
I just felt like I had a lot more to prove, honestly. I could improve on my game a lot more, show people I'm better, and hopefully raise my stock by just being a more all-around player. And personally, I feel like I'm doing that. I'm still getting better, still learning. And I just felt like my time at Ohio State wasn't up.
So specifically, what were some of the aspects of your game that you wanted to improve on or to show the scouts?
Just be able to guard a lot of positions. Last year, I guarded the center literally the whole game, all last season. And this year, I'm guarding more at guard, switching off of guards, wings, and just showing my all-around game, being able to shoot three-point shots and being an all-around versatile defender.
EJ Liddell is joining us. You know, after that loss in the tournament last year, you received some truly hideous direct messages on social media, including some death threats. I don't want to go back and spend a lot of time on that awful time, but as a young person, a young athlete, hell, it's anybody. What was that experience like for you?
The experience was, it was weird, honestly. I just want to know why, just wonder why people would say things of that sort. But it's always going to be those one or two people out in the world who just have, a spam page and just always being negative on people's things. I just feel like that's, someone in the culture, is just everybody being trolls. But that experience just showed me everybody has my back no matter what. I have a lot of support from a whole bunch of different people in different programs, like in the MLB, NFL, NBA. Just a lot of people said they get those all the time, too, and just stay strong.
I think that's right. I think obviously the majority of people are not like that, but there are some idiots who have nothing better to do that do that, and it makes no sense whatsoever. I think on one level, EJ, it would have been very understandable for you to say, in light of that, I don't need this. I don't want to return to school. Did that ever cross your mind at any point?
I wouldn't say so. I was in a situation where I could have left, but truly in my heart, I felt like it was not my time to go. And I felt like I wanted to play in front of fans again. Because COVID last year, there was no fans in the stands besides the Big Ten tournament. And I honestly just felt like it was not my time to go.
I think that's cool, too. You think that you have gratitude, you think you have an appreciation, but it's not until everything is ripped from you that you fully understand how great it was or is. So what was it like, or what is it like to have the fans back in the stands and have that kind of juice and energy?
Man, honestly, it's crazy. Before the games, get to see all the fans, get to talk to people, interact with people, take pictures, because I love doing that, meeting people. Because I was one of those kids who looked up to guys like that when I was a younger guy, and I just really want to give back to fans and whatnot, just if it's with a smile, a fist bump, and whatnot. And just playing in front of friends at home just brings a ton of energy. Going on away games in the Big Ten, I see a lot of Ohio State fans as well who live in those states and who can't get to our games as often here. But just meeting people and just enjoying time like that means a lot to me.
EJ Liddell is joining us. You mentioned that some of the fans travel really well. I got to ask you something really quickly. So I've got one. We have one son who is a junior at Wisconsin. Again, I'm a California guy. I'm an LA native. We sent one kid to Wisconsin, and his younger brother is now looking at colleges, and he's thinking Ohio State. Would that be a good idea? If I send my younger son there, what's that going to be like for him?
Oh, I feel a great experience, a great culture, and just an all-around good experience in college, honestly. I love it. Yesterday it was a whole bunch of people because it snowed here. It was kind of a snowball fight, and I enjoyed that a ton, and the college experience is great. So I would definitely say this is the place to be.
All right, I love that. I'm going to pass that along to him and his mother. All right, so I mentioned off the top that you're averaging 3 blocks per game. Before you go, you had 5 against Northwestern on Sunday. You talked about the importance of guarding, and you wanted to improve upon that in that you could guard any position. Earlier this season, you had 8 in the game against Xavier. You're among the nation's leader in shot blocking. You're only 6'7". How do you explain your approach to shot blocking?
My mom says I get it from her, and I kind of agree because she went to Illinois State in college, and she was an undersized middle blocker at only 5'10", and she led her team to the Sweet 16. So she says I have my timing and jumping ability from her, so I give full credit to her for that.
I like that. So finally, you put up some ridiculous stats this season, including being the best player in more than a decade with 30 points, 5 threes, and 5 blocks in the same game. I mean, are these stats that you notice and pay attention to at all, or is it only about winning?
Man, I'm all about winning. That's how I've been wired my whole life. I just don't see the satisfaction with you only putting up stats and not everybody else being happy. So I'm a winner. I love winning, and I love just playing with these guys right now.
You are, dude. First team All Big Ten last season, named to the midseason Wooden Award watch list, coming off that big game against Penn State, and you've got IUPUI at Ohio State tomorrow night. EJ Liddell, my guest. EJ, great getting caught up. I appreciate you. Thanks so much for doing that. Good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. EJ Liddell. I like the way he handles himself on and off the floor. True story. Rogan Loam is getting ready to take college visits. He's taken one. He's gone to Boulder. That's the only one he and Dodger Jano have taken so far. Again, because of COVID, that everything's been just so different and so jacked up. prior to that, when Jake Rome, our older son, went looking for colleges, they took a number of college trips. Everything's always different. You know this. If you're a parent, you know this. If you're a child, you know this. If at one point you were, everything is always different. I'm not saying it's better, but it's always different for the first child as opposed to the next child. So you always go overboard with everything on the first child. Like I remember when Jake is now almost 21. Logan is a junior in high school. Like when Jake fell down or kind of conked his dome on the marble, we're like, oh, 911, 911, ambulance. If Logan took a header, it's like, he's good. He's good. It's all good. Everything's fine. So when it was time to look for a college, pre-COVID, of course, Janet and Jake were just all about it, man. They were on planes all the time. Visits everywhere all the time. It was actually a topic on this show. Things got so crazy that when Jake got into Arizona State, and I was talking about that as a possibility because he was looking at journalism schools. We talked about Missouri, too, which he got into. The president of Arizona called up and said, hey, Jim, your boy's not going to Arizona State. Not as long as I'm president at Arizona, he's not. We are a huge jungle school. I'm not having your son go to the arch enemy. Like, that literally was a thing. So we haven't had a lot of that with Logan because Logan has only taken one trip, and that was to Boulder. But Ohio State is on his watch list. Jake has had such a great experience in the conference that I've said, you see, this is what you want. You want a college experience. And no offense, Junior, no matter what your skill set is, no matter how talented you are, no matter how smart you are, you probably are not getting into Big Bro school. So what is there in that conference that would make some sense? Ohio State, Indiana, Purdue. And not only nothing against these schools. These are really good schools. But you're not getting into Northwestern. You're not getting into Michigan. You're not getting into Wisconsin. So what else? Ohio State might be on that list. Wouldn't that be something? You get the sense these kids want to get the hell away from me? Ohio and Wisconsin for California kids. Stay tuned. Micah Hyde next.